Hey, everybody. How you doing? This is professional wrestler, professional podcaster Colt Boom Boom Cabana, and you're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Mazel tov.
When they're not covering the sports world, they're talking about the world of professional wrestling.
It's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
Now, with Justin Simmons, here's Stu Myron.
Back in our normal time slot of 8 p.m. Central, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. Stu Myrick, and he's been bugging me for weeks. I finally got it. So, ladies and gentlemen, my tag team partner, none other than Justin, the Smash Simmons.
Thank you. I appreciate that, too.
Again, I still don't have intro. Although, I guess the intro, I guess, could be my entrance music. I actually use our music bed for entrance music when I do Texoma Pro.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they bring me out as the ring announcer, so I use that as the entrance music. So, by the way,
kind of like Linda McMahon with the WrestleMania theme.
Yeah, kind of like that. Again, thanks to Jordan and Eddie from Fight Night ATX for giving us the extra hour last week. We got a huge weekend of wrestling coming up.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
A lot of it is going to be here in Austin, but we got to start with what's happening in Baltimore. Ring of Honor Wrestling has a pay-per-view this weekend, this Friday night, in fact. Best in the World, emanating from the UMBC Event Center there in Baltimore. Of course, that's going to be at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Again, that's on pay-per-view, or if you are an Honor Club subscriber on ROHWrestling.com, you can get it on that. And this card is pretty stacked. I mean, it's
I wouldn't expect anything less at this point.
I wouldn't either. You know, I mean, we've known Ring of Honor for quite some time, and they know how to put together pay-per-view. Let's start with Austin Aries, the Belt Collector, and the current Impact Wrestling World Champion, is returning to Ring of Honor, where he was the very first man to hold the Ring of Honor World title twice. Well, he's coming back. He's going to be at Best in the World, taking on a former partner of his, former friend of his, in Kenny King, the former television champion. This should be interesting. I've got to believe Kenny King's going to win.
Yeah,
but
I had Aries penciled in there for a second, but then once I started thinking about it, it makes more sense for King to win.
You know, Aries, again, he's still doing this Belt Collector thing. I suspect we will see both the Impact World and Grand Championships around his waist. Granted, the Grand Championship core has been retired or melded or merged into the World Championship. And, of course, he's got the big match at Impact Wrestling's pay-per-view Slammiversary coming up against Moose. But in the meantime, Friday night, Austin Aries and Kenny King. Yeah, I'm going to go with Kenny on this one. I got to believe Kenny is getting set up probably for another possible run sometime, whether it's with the TV title or maybe he may try to contend for the world title. We'll see. But I'm going with King. You said you're going with King as well?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
All right. Another match, and this is a match that I am really looking forward to. So Jay Lethal, the greatest first-generation wrestler that ever lived, as we've heard, taking on none other than Kushida.
Yeah.
This could be interesting. I mean, first of all, both of them absolute technically sound. They've got offense for days.
Yeah.
And I don't know where to lie here.
Oh, but I mean, it's Kushida. I mean, of the two wrestlers right now, I think Kushida was had a busier year, and that should probably pay off in a match like this. His high-flying ability is always his trump card, so to speak. And, I mean, I know Lethal's really good, but I could see Kushida getting a win here.
I could see either one of them. I think just for the sake of difference, I'm going to go with Lethal here. I think Lethal might be due. And again, he's looking to get back in the title picture, having been a former champion. In 8-woman tag, Sumi Sakai, Jenny Rose, Maya Owatani, and Tennille Dashwood taking on Kelly Klein, Kagetsu. I hope I said that right.
Kagetsu.
Yeah, there we go. Hana Kimura and Hazuki. Just because Sumi Sakai is the current Women of Honor champion, plus she's got Tennille Dashwood on her side, I'm going to go with Team Sakai.
Yeah, I don't really see them losing this match. If they do for some reason, I think it would be just because of some inner turmoil within that faction that's going to be pairing up and possibly can lead to a Women of Honor's championship match later down on the road. I mean, they have a strong division, obviously, why they create the title. So I just don't know who would be the number one contender at this point.
I don't either. I'm sure someone will be propped up as that. They've got what's the September pay-per-view that they do? I just had it in the tip of my tongue now. And it escapes me. But they have the pay-per-view in September. Of course, they do Final Battle in December. I got to imagine one of those two pay-per-views. It's in Las Vegas this time, too. They're doing it at the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas. Death Before Dishonor.
Okay.
That's one. I've got to believe that there will be a number one contender, whether it's Dashwood, whether it's Kelly Klein.
Well, you figure Dashwood just because of the name recognition from the WWE and the fact that she didn't really get used properly. This would be a really good chance to kind of try to build up that belt.
I could see that. I could really see that. And they seem to be, it's almost like they've had this, this friendly kind of collaboration. In fact, Sakai and Dashwood, did they team at San Antonio? No, I think it was Sakai and Thunder Rosa. Now, it was Thunder Rosa versus Tennille Dashwood in Dallas, and Dashwood got the win there. But I've got to think that this is, they're setting it up, and I tend to agree that I think Dashwood may get the title shot, whether it's at Death Before Dishonor or at Final Battle. A match that has a lot of people talking, Bully Ray, who has been making a lot of noise about the fact that the younger generation doesn't even belong in wrestling. Mm-hmm. He beat up Cheeseburger. That started at Supercard of Honor and has kept that going. Now his sights are set on Flip Gordon. And calls them young boys and just has absolute no respect for these rising stars, these guys that are making names for themselves in Ring of Honor, regularly reminds everybody that he's a Hall of Famer. In fact, flashes his WWE Hall of Fame ring regularly in the Ring of Honor, venues. So I was able to catch up with Flip Gordon earlier today. And as you might imagine, Flip Gordon has taken great offense to what Bully Ray thinks about the young rising stars of Ring of Honor.
Oh, absolutely. I don't understand why he has a problem with me. Just because I've only been doing this 3 years, just because I'm still learning, he doesn't think I was brought up the way I should have been. I'm just fighting and clawing for my place on the card, for my opportunity. And if somebody's going to stand in my way, like Bully, then I'm going to have to bring out the best I got, and I'm going to give the best I got, and I'm going to show them what I have, and that's the best in the world. I'm not here just to hang around for a few years. I'm here to change the game. I'm here to learn as much as I can and to be a part of this thing called professional wrestling for a very long time, and that's my goal, and I'm not going to let any bully stand in my way, even if he is a two-time Hall of Famer.
I don't doubt you for one second. Let me ask you this. How much of his work have you watched leading up to this match?
A lot. Obviously, I grew up watching him as a kid. But going into this match, I've studied not only him, but the Dudleys as a whole so much more intensely than I ever have before. Because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me to shut Bully's mouth once and for all. I don't want this to go more than one match. I want this to be the end. I need to come in the best in the world, the best I got. And I just need to shut him up once and for all.
We know Flip Gordon. We've gotten to know him over the last year or so. He's got all the determination in the world. I mean, this is, he's a former soldier. If anybody could beat Bully Ray, it's Flip.
I'm not even doubting it. He's too fast, too young, too athletic.
There's, yeah, for all of Bully Ray's power and experience, there are things that Flip Gordon can do in that ring that I'm not sure Bully Ray could keep up with now. This isn't like TLC back in the day with the Hardys and Edge and Christian. This isn't even name your favorite X Division wrestler in TNA. We're now talking 2018 with Flip Gordon.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different animal here just because the game has changed so much. And it's kind of like the NBA where you now have the stretch four getting into the stretch five where basketball is becoming completely positionless. Kind of had that with pro wrestling now because heavyweights can fly through the air like Keith Lee. And cruiserweights, some of those guys are probably some of the strongest guys on the card. So it just really, you just never really know what you're going to get with pro wrestling, except the fact that it would be difficult for those quote unquote old timers to try to go against these young bloods just because of how different they wrestle.
I agree. I'm taking Flip in this one. I think that this is going to be, like he said, he's going to shut Bully up. Once and for all.
I mean, but what is like? What would Bully Ray even have to gain from, you know, beating Flip Gordon?
Just to prove he's right. Just to prove that he think that what he says is right. That they are indeed young boys and they don't belong in wrestling. So, it's Bully Ray. He's a bully. That's what he does. So, a match that was made as a result of what happened in Dallas: Punishment Martinez versus Hangman Adam Page. It is in a Baltimore street fight, and now, because Punishment Martinez is the Ring of Honor world champion, world television champion, rather, he may be a world champion soon, that match will be for the TV title. Punishment just won it. What I saw in Dallas with what he did with that Proving Ground match and then against Silas Young, he's looking unbeatable.
Well, yeah, I mean, literally, he is the next big thing. Been saying that since we saw him live back in San Antonio, like even 2 years ago. He just glides. He moves like young Undertaker. It's crazy how the similarities can be there, and it looks like he's just coming along nicely with being able to solidify the talent that he does have and still learning as he's going along. I don't see him losing this match, especially in a street fight. It's made for a behemoth like Martinez. Now, granted, that will even things up for Adam Page, but I really don't see Adam Page taking away the belt just after a couple of weeks.
No, I don't. And I think Heyman Page might be a little distracted with this whole scenario with Joey Ryan. If you watch Being the Elite, you know what I'm talking about. For the Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Championships, The Kingdom taking on Evil Sonata and Bushi representing LIJ. The Kingdom, the first trio to hold those prestigious titles, and now the first ones to have them twice. This is going to be a great match, and I was able to catch up with Vinny Marsaglia from The Kingdom, the Horror King himself. We talked about the match, of course, but before that, he is starring in a movie called The Find, and so I asked him about what he's doing on the silver screen.
Yeah, it's said to be released on Halloween. I'm hoping it still is that night because it's the perfect time to release it.
Of course.
Halloween night, so I'm hoping it is that. But, so I did a little scene in a movie called The Santa Files prior to that where it was just a little, like, backstage kind of thing. It was like a wrestling Christmas movie for kids and actually did very well. And I had a little part in that. And then the director, David Gere, who's aligned with Verdi Productions, which a lot of movies that are in Rhode Island has kind of passed through their hands. He had contacted me and said, hey, would you be interested in being in a horror film? And I said, no, get out of here. No, of course, I was like, you know, I was actually super excited that he contacted me to do it. And he said, no, I'm going to send you the script, look it over and let me know what you think. And I was like, you know, yeah, okay, I'll look at it, you know, but I was already, yeah, of course I'm going to do it. You don't have to give me no script. You know what I mean? Horror movie, I was sold, you know, I always wanted to do that. So He sent me the script. I read it over, and it was awesome. Kind of has like a, if I can relate it to anything, it almost has like a Scream vibe to it, like the story and the way that everything goes. So I play the character Damon, which is the lead role, the killer in the movie. And it's about a bunch of college kids that go to a big mansion from back in the day. That was built on an Indian burial ground. They go there for winter break to just have a good time, bunch of college kids. And there's a room, like a study hall, which has a bunch of old artifacts from these old Indian tribes in this study room that would just happen to be left behind there. And Damon is in search of this ring, which is one of the artifacts that he's looking for. And Damon is alive today in current time and just happens to be connected to this tribe, and he's looking for this ring that has some sort of power to it. And he goes to the house because he feels that's where it is, being built on this the burial ground of the Indian tribe, and he's in search of the ring. And of course he comes across the college kids partying at this this old mansion, and then I'm sure you can guess kind of where it leads to. And you know, so Damon's in search of this ring that has some sort of connection with him in the tribe. So it's really cool. I'm looking forward to it because just filming it alone, and when we filmed, it was overnight filming. So I actually lived like the Lost Boys, where I slept all day, woke up around 5 p.m., 4:30 p.m., and we filmed all through the night till like 7 a.m. But man, it wasn't cool. It was the coolest experience. And you know, there's said to be possibly a sequel. I don't know, but that would be awesome. But I guess we got to get through the first one, you know. And they're actually could be releasing the trailer within the next couple of days before Best in the World. So I'm pretty excited for that. So keep an eye out for that.
Absolutely. It's called The Find, and we're talking with Vinny Marsaglia. Okay, so let's get to Friday night, Best in the World, Baltimore. You and TK O'Ryan and Matt Taven defending the six-man titles against LIJ, and you've got Evil, Bushy, and Sonata. And I gotta imagine, as you know, as close knit as the kingdom is, I gotta imagine you do relate a little bit to the three men you're going to be standing across the ring from on Friday night.
Oh yeah, man. And I'm really excited to get revenge on Bushy, because Bushy last year's tour, I believe it was, the War of the Worlds. I was covered in his green mist for about a week and couldn't get it off. So my target is definitely Bushy in this one. Definitely the relatable guys. But you know what? Where the kingdom's looking forward to the competition, because I think LIJ is the perfect competition for the Ring of Honor six-man tag champions. But the plan is, of course, to leave Baltimore still the first ever two-time Ring of Honor World six-man tag team champs.
I got to admit, you know, I'm not going to pick against the Kingdom. As much as good as LIJ is, the Kingdom is on such a roll right now. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at TheHorrorKingVM. I can't pick against the champs.
Oh, I can. Even after the interview, even after all that, yes, I can.
So you're going with LIJ on this one?
Los Ingobernables de Japón, they are due.
They are due?
They are
really?
Due.
Okay.
Yeah, they've had a rough go since, not Wrestle Kingdom, but the last big event. Please refresh my memory. It was where?
Dominion.
Thank you.
Dominion, yeah. They lost the tag titles to the Bucks.
Exactly.
Evil Sonata did.
Yeah, so I figured that this would be a nice way to bounce back. It would give those titles from Ring of Honor a little bit more show, because they probably have them while in Japan, so it will build up the credibility of those titles as well. And they can have a nice little rivalry over that belt come next time around when they're back in the United States for another ROH show.
That is true, but I'm still going to stick with the Kingdom. Speaking of the Young Bucks, the current IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, looking to add the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions to their fold, but they have to get through the Briscoes in order to do that. I'm split on this. I'm really split on this. I got to be honest, I'm leaning Bucks just because I think it might be time, but it wouldn't. It's let's it's by hair, so it wouldn't surprise me if the Briscoes keep them.
You were thinking they're going to go 2 for 2 in this crusade for heavyweight gold?
Sure.
I know, but didn't Mark and Jay just win the belts?
No, they've had them for... They've had them since, what, the beginning of the year?
It doesn't feel like that. It feels like they've only had them for a couple of months. And, I mean, this is...
Because they had them at Supercard.
But is this, like, their last great tag team run? Are we at that point? I mean, they've been with the company, what,
since
the inception?
One.
So
yeah, since 02.
I mean, we're in the year 2018 now. And granted, one of the brothers have won the Ring of Honor World Championship at least twice. But is this... They don't always pair up.
Right.
And they just have been starting to pair up again in the last couple of years. But I'm always wondering when it's going to end. Because it just seems like that would be the inevitable. They would split up once again and go their own separate ways to at least get one more good singles run before. I'm not sure if they're going to hang it up anytime soon. It just seems that you've already done everything you can do with the Briscoes. And the Bucks are so hot right now. I mean, to have your title attached to the Young Bucks, I mean, that can only mean good money for your promotion.
True, true. And that's why I think the Bucks could win. But I'm also got in the back of my head, back of my mind, the money's in the chase.
Is
so,
it really, though?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like you're going for the Bucks as well.
I mean, it makes some sense. It just depends on how all of this is going to line up for All In.
True.
Honestly. But, I mean, the Briscoes are like ROH lifers, so it doesn't seem silly for them not to hold on to the belts.
Okay.
And have a decent run again. And a lengthy one at that. But,
true.
But, again, the Bucks are just so hot. I really don't know who to pick, honestly.
It's a pick 'em. I'll give you that. But you got to give me one.
I'll just go with the Briscoes just because it seems like they'll be... More and willing again, to retain because right. I feel that the main event is going to be a little different. And that will determine how the title changes go about on this entire card.
I think you're right. Of course, the main event, triple threat for the Ring of Honor World Championship, Dalton Castle defending against Marty Scurll and Cody Rhodes. They've made, in fact, I saw a transcript. They had a media teleconference. And I know Dalton Castle has been making note of the injuries that he's been working through the last several weeks.
Yeah.
So it does seem like they're setting it up for Dalton Castle to drop the title. Conventional wisdom with what we have seen with All In and Cody and what has been happening in Ring of Honor tells me Cody becomes a two-time world champion. And I'm going to go with Cody because, let's remember, Cody then puts the Ring of Honor world title up against Nick Aldis and the NWA world title at All In if that happens.
Well, yeah.
And I think it's partly wishful thinking because I think I want to see the two titles that, in my personal opinion, are the two true world championships in pro wrestling right now.
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like they wouldn't go that route. I pretty much All In has been predicated on the fact that the NWA heavyweight champion is going to be on that card. And that's been the only match that's been announced.
Right.
And with that stipulation. So it just seems that all the arrows are pointing to Cody getting the championship here. I mean, and... It looks like this match is also designed to save face for Dalton Castle for when that whole All-In storyline does come to an end. But the question I have is, how is this going to play out? Because, in a sense, Cody and Marty are teammates.
Yeah, that's going to be, and that's the wild card.
And
you
it
have
seems
Bullet Club mates, Elite mates.
Yeah, and it seems that it looks like Skrull would be the one that would eat the pin here, not necessarily Castle. Or that Skrull would be on the verge of winning the title and Cody would come up and sneak it off and sneak out with the title by costing Skrull a chance to win the title. I mean, those are the two conclusions I foresee.
Right. I think the latter of those two might be the more prevalent. Skrull finds a way to get Castle into a pinning predicament, and then Cody jumps in and takes the pin.
Yeah, but I
and
mean,
takes the title.
But do you really want to leave Castle being the one having to eat the pin? It just seems. I mean, I guess it doesn't hurt that much just because the deck is already stacked against him, especially since it's triple threat.
That and the fact they've made a lot of talk about his injuries.
So it sounds like something that would probably cost him during the match. Yeah, I mean, I think the safe pick was Cody. That's probably the easy pick. And that's the only reason why I see the Young Bucks not winning the tag titles as well. It just seems like that would be too big of a hole in one night for everybody from New Japan / Bullet Club.
True. Another gentleman I was able to catch up with today. It was a great day to catch up with Ring of Honor people. And this one, a good friend of mine, the longtime ring announcer of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Bobby Cruz. And so we had a nice chat, and I had to ask him, which match does he think could steal the show?
Yeah, that's the thing with us, our pay-per-views especially, Steve. You'd almost say it about most major shows for us, but our pay-per-views, our real pay-per-views especially, it's like, geez, I mean, like you could pick 6-7 matches that are good, quote-unquote, steal the show. The world title match definitely piques my interest because of the dynamic of the world title. What I feel is the most prestigious title in actual wrestling is the Ring of Honor world title. And what's going on, you know, Dalton's been fighting injuries, Cody and the villain in both in Bullet Club, but have been not getting along, quote unquote, for the past, several months. And if anyone saw Ring of Honor TV recently with Cody cutting his promo and the villain coming in and then it looked like they were getting along, and at the end, the villain could have snapped Cody's fingers and then kind of let go. So that's definitely interesting. Who knows what's going to happen there. And then the other one, you know, as far as maybe a show stealer, and it's hard to say, it's not even fair to say a show stealer when you have Jay Lethal and Kushida and you have the Briscoes and the Young Bucks for the tag title. But now that the TV title is involved with the feud with Adam Page and Punishment Martinez, and it's a Baltimore street fight, with, of course, our pay-per-view being held in Baltimore. That one really kind of caught my eye when Punishment, as you were there in Dallas, won the TV title, and that was very surprising, it seemed like, to the crowd that was sitting there live in Dallas at Gillies Pub. That one kind of caught my eye a little bit. You know, our show, like you said, it's so stacked, but now you have what's been going on with Adam Page. He's been on fire for months now and a huge member of Bullet Club, and Punishment's been on a roll. Now you have that in a Baltimore street fight, and now the TV title is even thrown in on top of that. That one may be the one to keep an eye on.
And I got to agree with him. I mean, it's as much as I'm looking forward to the triple threat, as much as I'm looking forward to the six-man and the rest of the matches, Punishment and Adam, I think that one's going to be one of those that's going to be one of those that a lot of people are going to remember for a long time to come. So that's Ring of Honor Wrestling's Best in the World, Friday night from the UMBC Center in Baltimore. That'll be 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. You can get it on pay-per-view or via ROHWrestling.com and sign up for Honor Club. When we come back from this commercial timeout, we've got wrestling right here in Austin that we have to preview. Not one, but two events. You're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260, streaming worldwide at hornfm.com and the Horn Austin app. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, part of the Cheap Pops podcast network that you find on blogtalkradio.com. One of our partner podcasts, Stick to the Gimmick, with Spencer and Marty. In their most recent episode, they're taking a look at what has happened after NXT TakeOver Chicago, the big battle between Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. They're asking the question whether the Gargano fairy tale, is it really over? You can hear that discussion plus much more about NXT, the yellow brand, when you tune in to Stick to the Gimmick with Spencer and Marty. You can find that as part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network on blogtalkradio.com.
This is Sammy Guevara, the best ever, Mr. Money's Worth, Mr. Right, Mr. Everything, and I'm here to tell you, yes, you, right now at this moment, you're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
Welcome to the Church of Me, true believers. Take a walk across the sea.
Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. Stu Myrick, Justin the Smash Simmons. So as we mentioned, we've got a bunch of wrestling going on right here in the ATX this weekend. We're going to start Friday night, 8 p.m. at Come and Take It Live down on Riverside Drive, building number 4, 2015 East Riverside Drive. It's right near Emo's. Sabotage Wrestling presenting Weird City Warfare 3. And among the slate of matches, the Sabotage World Tag Team Championships will be defended as the Horde try to get those tag team titles from Fun and Sexy. And we are joined on the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina hotline by one half of the Sabotage Wrestling World Tag Team Champions. Baby D, how are you, girl?
I'm good. How are you? Excited to be on.
I'm doing great. It was good to see you this weekend. Saw you in Dallas last Thursday at Dallas Championship Wrestling. Had a great time there. So how excited are you to come back to Austin to defend those tag titles?
Man, I'm super excited. Me and Phoebe, like, that's all we could think of. We were talking all day long. How are we going to defeat the Horde? What do we have to do to make sure we hold on to these titles? It's been a conversation that we've been going on. I don't know, you know, if you follow me on Facebook, even if you follow me on Twitter, see the videos, you see the promos we've been cutting, you see how funny and how best we obviously are. But, you know, deep down, we know that we have to put up a fight, and this will be a war. Hence, Weird City Warfare, you know?
It is Weird City Warfare, and the Horde, you know, these two guys are nothing to sneeze about. These two are tough customers. We've seen them around Central Texas quite a bit. Have you found a weakness or something that you can exploit that will ensure that you and Phoebe come out of this still the tag team champions?
You know, I think that we can get them split apart for just a moment because they work great as a team. They will take control as a team, and they will split. They split you apart, and they will just work on one of you while the other sits out. I'm outside. We can't let that happen. If we can work as a team, you know, me and Phoebe we're strong as a team, as you've seen last Sabotage show. We work great together. You know, we feed off of each other from what we're doing in the ring to what we're doing on the outside. We work perfect together, you know, and we had an amazing match against the Twisted Sisters. We've also defended the titles successfully in Kansas City. So we, you know, if we can continue to work as a great team and make sure that they don't split us apart and just work on one of us, then I think that's going to be their weakness right there.
We're talking.
And, you know, we like to make fun of them. So I think that we can get in their heads and play a little mind games with them like they've tried to play with us. And that might be another weakness.
I've got a feeling you girls know how to play a few mind games. Talking with one half of the Sabotage World Tag Team Champions, Baby D of Fun and Sexy. So tell me about how did this team come together in the first place? Because I became aware of you at the last Sabotage show. I know that you have worked extensively, especially in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I've seen your work, and you're fantastic in the ring. You're a lot of fun to watch. What brought about this tag team with you and Phoebe?
Well, a few months ago, back at I'm not sure the actual name, but I want to say it was last year. And last year, the last Sabotage show of the year of last year of 2017, there was a big Weird City Warfare type match. And heck, it might even been Weird City Warfare too. No, I think that was correct. So basically, the match was the last two people standing were going to win the titles. Unfortunately, it came down to me, Skylar Slice, and Phoebe. Yes, Skylar Slice took out Phoebe, and then Follow took out me. So then it was left as the two champions were Skylar Slice and Phoebe. something happened unexpectedly to Skylar. So Phoebe had to pick her partner. And who else does she pick? But Moi, me. So you could say that, yes, I was given the title, that you could say that I didn't earn the title. But at that Weird City Warfare match, that last show, the number two, I entered in as number one and got all the way down to the last three. So you could say that I did work very hard in that match to almost win. So at War of the Genders in January, Phoebe, magical match against Human Tornado. I had a magical match against Human Tornado, and then Phoebe came out and helped me destroy Human Tornado again. And then that's when Fun and Sexy was creative.
I love that story. And you two definitely have a lot of fun. You show your sexiness in the ring. It's a lot of fun to see you girls doing what you do in the ring. Before I let you go, I know you come down to Austin or the Austin area quite a bit. What is your favorite part of Austin?
You know, every time I'm down there, I usually don't have time to like really see anything. But the last couple times, I have been able to go kayaking on the river.
Oh, nice.
And I really enjoy that. I really enjoy the kayaking. Now, I can't get over the traffic. Like, I'm just not a traffic person. Just, if I knew the back roads and could get around, then I would be okay. But the traffic, come on, Austin.
We've been saying that for years. We understand that. She is Baby D. She is one half of Fun and Sexy. They are the Sabotage Wrestling World Tag Team Champions. They will be taking on the Horde Friday night at Weird City Warfare 3. Baby D, tell everybody how they can find you on social media so they can follow your exploits through all of independent wrestling.
Perfect. No problem. So you can follow me at Twitter at BabyD2017. You can also follow me at Instagram at BabyD2017. Now, Facebook is a little confusing. It is going to be Stacy Carpenter. That's StacyCarpenter, just like the carpenter that builds something. You can follow me there, and I will. I always post shows, and I'm always open to add people and friends, and you know, keep it friendly, keep it sexy, keep it going down.
Sounds good, Baby D. All the best to you. Safe travels down here. And we look forward to seeing you Friday night.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you.
Every time I see Baby D, whether it's in the tag team with Phoebe or in singles action, I mean, she always has a smile on her face. She has a ball. A lot of fun to watch her in the ring. So,
well, she's very charismatic. And
she is.
And the crowd definitely feeds off that energy that she's able to exude. And if you talk about her as a wrestler, though, her game, she continues to up it each and every time she goes out. And she does some moves that I think because you see her appearance that you wouldn't necessarily expect her to actually be able to pull off. But her, and she's been wrestling really well. And this team up with Phoebe has been really good for her, as they have been a really strong team, as she had talked about during the interview. But, I mean, this whole card, though, it looks relatively strong. And Sabotage, it continues to grow here in the Austin area as they have continued to put on shows here.
Yeah, they have. I mean, you've got this Marcus Rose Open Challenge. Now, I don't know what has gotten to the head of Marcus Rose to
you
put
must
out
not follow him on Facebook.
I know, but to
he's
put out an open,
talking.
To put out an open challenge like that, because it's one of those things. It's, you know, you be careful what you wish for. So we'll see who answers the challenge. You've got this rivalry between DFW All-Pro Wrestling Academy and the Hybrid School of Wrestling. So they're going to have a tag team battle. You have Alejandro the Lion and Ryza Clark representing DFW All-Pro. And you've got Jenna Lynn and Kiki Vibes representing Hybrid facing each other. So that should be a huge battle, because I know they've been getting on each other's turf and invading. And so hopefully this will kind of settle the score, so to speak.
It's kind of like, my kung fu is stronger than your kung fu.
Yes,
type
exactly.
Deal here, huh?
Exactly.
This should be an interesting match, though. I'm always interested to see what people learn straight out of the gate while they're attending their school or academy, however you want to go about that gym. I'm always interested to see, because those are like the very basics that all those people are going to build upon. And if you don't have strong basics, it's really difficult to I think, tell a good story.
The other big match that night, Erica Torres defending the Sabotage World Championship against former NWA World Women's Champion Barbie Hayden. I mean, Erica Torres is in for an absolute test because Barbie Hayden is one of the best women wrestlers in the world.
Yeah, she was always she's been in like the pro wrestling. She's been in the top 500
in the PWI yeah, top 500. We have a, pro wrestling illustrated.
We know a lot
right?
of people that have been in the top 500.
Yes,
but you know, when it came to women wrestlers, she was ranked really high up there, and it's just because she had come off of that NWA women's title run. She's been she's had the chance to go overseas, her name recognition. She's been on, at the time, I believe it was Impact originally, because I know she had made an appearance then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a matter of time. As long as she keeps up with her current trajectory, we might be seeing her either in Women of Honor or somewhere like that down the road, like our friend Thunder Rosa.
You've got, we've got another Mae Young Classic coming up. I think she was an alternate for the last one, so who knows? Anyway, and to top it all off, a Weird City Warfare match. Apparently, this is at least 16 people, and they're saying there may be more. And the winner of this match will get a match of their choice against whoever they want down the road. So this could be interesting. Of course, the participants, as far as I know, some of the participants include T-Ray, Nikki Knight, Micah, Ray Ortiz, Angel Blue, Rob Love, Mr. B, Raquel Vaughn, and Alex Garcia. So, Weird City Warfare 3 Sabotage Wrestling, Friday night, bell time, 8 p.m. at Come and Take It Live, 2015 East Riverside Drive, building number 4 right here in Austin. It's right down the street from Emo's. You can get tickets at www.sabotagewomen.com. And that event will also be streamed on Heel Face Wrestling's Twitch channel. So you go to twitch.tv/heelfacewrestling. If for some reason you can't make it live, you can watch it there. Then we go to Sunday, another show that will be streamed on twitch.tv/heelfacewrestling. Inspire Pro Wrestling presents Battle Dreams, Sunday, 6 p.m. bell time. That'll be at the AFS Cinema. They're on I-35 there in Lincoln Village. Among the matches, the first match that catches my eye, the Tag Tornado Scramble. This has Becker and Remington from the Impact Players versus Gino and Massive versus the Horde, who we just talked about, you know, facing Baby D.
They got a busy weekend.
They do have a busy weekend. As we said, this is going to be a fantastic Tornado Scramble with these tag teams. And one of the participants joining us now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, as we said, he is teaming up with the Latin heartthrob Gino. And you talk about two men of different sizes, and his name fits his size. It's none other than Massive. Massive, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. This tag team that you have with Gino, we saw it debut at the last event. When you faced Matthew Palmer and Sheridan Ramones, you two have some really good chemistry going. Was this the first time you have tagged, or have you guys tagged before?
No, it's actually the first time we tagged. Very little did I know about Gino, but after talking to him and getting to know him a little bit, it seems that we have a lot in common. Not only does our Latin heritage, you know, coincide with one another, he's familiar with Lucha Libre. I'm very familiar with Lucha Libre. So basically it's, you know, it's worked out to our benefit, you know, to team up with one another, as you guys have seen.
Absolutely. You've been wrestling in Inspire Pro now for some time. What has been your take on your tenure so far with Inspire Pro Wrestling?
I mean, Inspire Pro is a great company. You know, the people that are running it from the top to the bottom are basically, you know, everybody's there for the company. They're not there for themselves. They're there to make the company great. And that's what I love about Inspire. A lot of promotions aren't like that. A lot of promotions, it's all about themselves. Inspire Pro makes it about the wrestler, about the worker. They make it about you getting out there and getting your name, you know, recognized. Because not only will it benefit them, it'll benefit the person that it's working for. Lately, I've been getting a lot of friend requests due to the fact that Inspire Pro, you know, streams across, you know, everywhere through Heel Face Wrestling. My Facebook has blown up over the last couple of weeks, and it's an incredible feeling. It's a blessing. And, I mean, really, Inspire Pro has really a lot to do with that.
Massive. Going into this matchup, you got going against Becker and Remington and the Horde. Do you have a game plan that you're working out with Gino before you walk into this? Just because it's going to be a free-for-all. And you guys won't be able to communicate too much because who knows what's going to happen during that match. Or do you even care about that? Do you just go in with how you prepare and just try to take your match and really set the tone yourself?
You know, all I got to say is I get paid to beat people up. You know, that's basically my motto. That's what I live by. As long as I get paid, I beat people up. So really, tag team scramble, fatal four-way, three-way, triple threat, whatever the match I'm in there to beat people up. To me, there's no psychology. It's just straight up ass whooping. That's what they're going to get, is an ass whooping, bottom line. You know, it's with Gino, I mean, we kind of like have the same philosophy. You know, we both come from the Latin heritage where it's, you know, every man for himself. You basically have to fight your way out of the ghetto. You have to fight your way, you know, to make a name for yourself. So this is basically, you know, a perfect situation for me and Gino. Gino's an outstanding wrestler. I faced him once as an opponent, and he gave me a run for my money. And it was a great match, and he's one of the reasons why I chose him to be a partner.
Talk with Massive, before I let you go, I know you've been making a name for yourself. Like I said, I know you're a big part of Branded Outlaw Wrestling, where you're the champion there. I know they got a big event coming up in July that's going to include none other than one of the pioneers of tag team wrestling, the Rock and Roll Express. How excited are you to see the Rock and Roll Express coming into BOW on July 7th?
Well, I mean, I'm not too much of a fan. You know, I'm more of a businessman. If they're there to benefit me, they're there to benefit me. That's great. I mean, it's great for the fans that they're coming in, but really the Rock and Roll Express, I mean, they're beat up. You know, their time has passed. You know, they were once a great tag team, and that's really all I have to say about them.
Okay.
They're going up against, you know, one of the top tag teams in Texas, which is the Horde. But, you know, all that's going to change soon here in the next couple of months. Once me and Gino get our feet running, get our feet on the ground, you guys are going to see who the best tag team is. Because, I mean, we're planning to tear up this whole state. And not only state, but nation. So the Horde better enjoy their little, you know, their little run while they can. The Heavy Hearts, I mean, perfect name for them. They are heavy. I don't even know if they have hearts. It's probably full of cholesterol and, you know, all this other junk, you know, all the junk that they eat. But I mean, you know, Gino and Massive, it's going to be something else to watch. Me and Gino have been talking about doing some new moves, you know, incorporating them to matches. And you guys are going to see what exactly we're talking about. And I appreciate everybody that supports Inspire Pro, that supports the indie scene. Without you guys, there is no us, because ultimately it comes down to the fans. And then for them, I'm very grateful. Like me or hate me, I do respect you.
Well,
but if you get him on the face, I will knock you out, bottom line.
I like it. And I know the fans have taken to you a lot. You can catch Massive and Gino as part of this tag tornado scramble at Inspire Pro Wrestling this Sunday. Massive, always good to talk to you, my friend. We will see you on Sunday.
I will see you too, and hopefully we'll be the ones with our hands raised. As a matter of fact, I think I know we'll be the ones with our hands raised, because really there's nobody that can that compares to us. I mean, there's nobody that can basically lace our wrestling boots. So that's the way I see it, and that's the way it's going to be.
So Massive is, as you can tell, very confident of him and
just
Gino.
A little?
I mean, if you know, and to see what they've done and see what he's done the last several months in Inspire, there's every reason for him to.
Well, I mean,
confident.
We already seen the run that Gino was on as a singles competitor over in Reality Wrestling, and then Massive, he's had a good run as a singles competitor in Inspire Pro. So for these two to team up at this, you know, it's always strange. You just never understand why it happens or how it happens sometimes, but it just fits, and this tag team just fits, and he wasn't joking. I can see this going somewhere, not just across the state, but getting at least a regional to national run if they put it together and they keep things going.
I think you're right,
but not every tag team ends up like the Rock and Roll Express, where
this is true.
pretty much tag forever.
That's right. They do. And Hall of Famers on top of that. The rest of the card looks like this. We've got two number one contender matches. The first one for the Undefinable Championship, the brand new championship that was created, that is currently held by Delilah Doom. A number one contender for that championship, it'll be Thunder Rosa, Cam Cole, Cherry Ramones, and a mystery opponent.
Well, Thunder Rosa working the back-to-back also. She'll be at Sabotage the night prior, going against JoJo that night.
It wouldn't surprise me if she has a gig on Saturday as well.
Yes.
And then
But who do you think this mystery opponent's going to be?
I have no idea.
It's funny because it can be man, woman, thing. It doesn't matter.
That's right. It's undefinable.
It can be a broom.
It could be a broom.
It could be a kitchen sink.
It could be ACH's dog.
True.
You know. So we'll see. And then the other number one contenders match, this is for the Inspire Pro Championship. Aaron Solo, one half of Extra Talented. Aaron Solo taking on Rex Andrews, who is, of course, split from FUCC, is on his own. And making a name for himself quickly. So the winner of that match will get a Inspire Pro title opportunity in the weeks and months to come. A Hoss match. Ruthless Ryan Davidson, we saw him finally get a win against Matt Tremont, the CZW icon. Well, on Sunday, he now ups the game because he's going to face none other than the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Tim Storm.
Yeah, and we just
saw a regular in the Inspire Pro circles.
Well, we also seen Tim recently from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. He made a play for the NWA title once again, so he seems to have inserted himself back into the title picture over there.
He has.
For the NWA Heavyweight Championship. I don't know if Tim can be stopped right now, even by the Ruthless One, because Ryan Davidson, I mean, he's a bad man. He's inflicted a lot of pain, but, I mean, Tim has seen all of them, and he's beat all of them.
Yeah, he has. He has.
And even in, I guess you can say, in his advanced stage of his career, I still don't think that Tim will lose to somebody that just doesn't have the same amount of experience. He always finds a way, for the most part.
You're right. Eight-man tag match. Team Super Academia, Cody Lane, Ethan Price, Zach Taylor, teaming with the other half of Extra Talented, Ricky Starks, taking on the Friends Under Corporate Contract, which would be MJF, Ashton Jacobs, and T-Ray, along with the Inspire Pro champion Terrell Tempo. That should be a barn burner. We saw what happened back in June, early June, with that rivalry.
I like FUCC's chances in that match. I mean, when you have Terrell on your team, when you have not just the champion, but just Terrell Tempo, he doesn't always have to have the belt to be what a special wrestler I think he's going to be. He's improved. Talk about somebody that's improved his game and every time he goes out. Terrell Tempo, my man, he has just really impressed me how much dedication he's put into his craft. And it's paid off year in and year out. And I think this is one of those guys that you're going to see get a bigger name recognition as long as he keeps on the same path that he's on right now.
You're right. Plus MJF, of course, making a huge name for himself in Major League Wrestling all across the country.
Good connections to have right here. That's true. I think Terrell is going to impress MJF, and MJF is going to see that his team is going to back him up and maybe put some more contacts in for the boys.
I wouldn't count out Team Super Academia. Those three kids have got a lot of heart.
Cody Lane, man. Another guy that I've been real impressed with. I mean, every time he goes out, he's just putting out something else that you hadn't seen prior. He's really picked up the game really quick. And I have to give credit to Ricky Starks. I mean, when the start line is calling, you have to pick up.
That's right.
It's just he can bring it. And he can be the match of the night when he wants to be. Is it going to be this match, though? I don't know. It's really tough for him to just be the guy that's going to stand out among all the talent that's in this matchup.
We shall see. You heard Massive talk about the Heavy Hearts. Heavy Hearts defending the Twin Dragon Connection Championships. This was supposed to be Steve Areno and Dirty Andy Dalton. Now, if you have not heard, Dirty Andy Dalton was at the Ring of Honor event in Dallas. He competed against Rhett Titus of the Dogs. In that match, he separated the AC joint in his shoulder.
That's what ended up being.
The good news is he doesn't have to have surgery. The bad news is it's going to keep him on the shelf for 6 to 8 weeks.
And that's like 2 months almost.
Right. So he can't compete on Sunday. So they have allowed Steve Areno to find a new partner. And allegedly, Steve Areno has found a partner, but we don't know who it is. So this could be a surprise. Should be an interesting bout for the Twin Dragon Connection Championships.
That's a tough blow for Steve. I really liked their chances with Dirty just because he had the chances. Lawless Darkness. So that's he was right. going to be able to go. This match could have gone however Dirty wanted it to go. And I felt that that was going to be a really big advantage for Steve-O. Now, I mean, you know, former Inspire Pro champion Steve-O.
True.
This guy's Mr. I want to say he's Mr. Inspire Pro. This guy, when I think Inspire Pro, I think Steve-O.
Yeah.
Because he's the guy.
Oh, he is.
He's been there for such a long time. He climbed his way from the opening match all the way to the top. This guy bleeds professional wrestling. But I want to know who his partner is going to be. I would love for it to be Jay Sirius. Bring back that little AAPW connection because they work really well. But, I mean, I don't know if you want to get a smaller tag team partner when you're going against the Heavy Hearts.
Jay Sirius right now is not booked for this card, so who knows?
I know, but that's what makes it a mystery.
It could be any number of people.
Well, who do you think it's going to be, Stu?
I don't know.
Who would you like it to be?
I can't make a prediction because I'll be on commentary. So,
But you can tell me who you would like to see there.
There's countless people.
I mean, if you can bring back anybody that you've seen in an Inspire Pro ring to be his partner, it could have been Keith Lee, but we all know it can't be.
It's not going to be Keith Lee. Keith's a little busy. I'm sorry, I can't. There are so many guys that come to mind.
Is it going to even be a guy? It doesn't matter. It could be anybody, right?
It could be.
Because Delilah Doom and what was it? Cherry Ramones were the ones that were holding these belts?
Delilah Doom and Davey Vega.
There you go.
Yeah, DVD. Speaking of Delilah Doom, she will be defending the aforementioned Undefinable Championship against Chris Wolfe, the great sensation from Japan. And then for the Pure Prestige Championship, a triple threat ACH defending that title against the Bad Boy Joey Janela and Mr. Athletic Jeff Cobb.
Wow. Talk about like a meringue of styles going on in this matchup.
It's going to be fun.
Mr. King of Texas himself, ACH, who is just coming back from his tour of Japan. Then you have Jeff Cobb, who, moves Mr. Suplex. I mean, you think Brock Lesnar, Suplex City. You haven't seen Jeff Cobb work yet. And then, again, the Bad Boy, like you mentioned before. Probably one of the hottest names in independent professional wrestling, his return to Inspire Pro. Steve-O took him on the first time, had a great match then. He's going to be up for another championship title. I mean, Janela, he's going to be selling this all over the social media. There's going to be a lot of interest in this match.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and Jeff Cobb, you know, he's getting ready. I think I saw he's entered into the Battle of Los Angeles for PWG. Of course, former PWG tag team champion. I think he's heading back to New Japan for a little bit. I mean, so you got two of the hottest wrestlers, three of the hottest wrestlers. ACH
just came back from Japan. Yeah, so, I mean, all these guys really well known, not just nationally, but internationally as well.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you would call these people that know them the tape collectors, the ones that are the hardcore fans. They definitely are familiar with these people work, but I've never seen them. Is this the first time they all meet up in a triple threat match?
I gotta imagine it is.
I can't imagine that they have all been in the ring at the same time.
I'm sure they've met, man on man, but a triple threat, I gotta imagine this might be the first. So,
this is just a really odd styling pair, just because obviously Cobb has the strength advantage, ACH is the athletic advantage, and Janela is the crazy advantage.
That's right. I mean, what else do you expect from Inspire Pro? They love doing stuff like this. So
I'm really looking forward to that match. It should be the one. I mean, any of these matches really could steal the show, but I think they really did save the best for last on this card.
I think you're right. It's going to be a lot of fun. For Sunday night, Inspire Pro Wrestling Battle Dreams at the AFS Cinema, bell time 6 p.m. You get your tickets at inspireprowrestling.com. If you for some reason you can't make it, as we mentioned, just like with Sabotage, it will be streamed on Heel Face Wrestling's Twitch channel at twitch.tv Heel Face Wrestling. Eamon Payton and myself, and I think Jason Harris will be back. We'll be on commentary. That should be a lot of fun. I am so looking forward to Sunday night. I'm looking forward to this whole weekend. So When we come back, we've got more to talk about. You're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, and you're listening to The Horn, where Austin talks wrestling. Let's take a look at one of our partner podcasts in the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. You'll find it on blogtalkradio.com. The High Spot Podcast with Jeff and Brian. They had a great conversation with Matt Camp from SiriusXM Radio and from House of Hardcore. Plus, they covered the Impact Wrestling Media Teleconference with none other than Rich Swann, the former WWE Cruiserweight Champion. Apparently, he's going to start making waves in the Impact Zone. So check out Jeff and Brian on High Spot Podcast. You can find it as part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network on blogtalkradio.com.
This is James J. Dillon, the leader of the original Four Horsemen and the holder of two Hall of Fame rings, and you're listening to the Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
It is Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network, podcast only segment for now. Stu Myrick, Justin the Smash Simmons. Let's go through what else has been happening in the wrestling world. Let's start with WWE. They finally made it official. They announced it earlier. The extension that they have with USA Network for Monday Night Raw, so that will continue to be showcased on USA Network, Monday Night Raw, 3 hours. But, of course, the big news is Friday night's SmackDown Live will be moving to Friday nights and will be changing channels. They've made it beginning October 4, 2019. This is coming straight from the press release. Every Friday night, beginning October 4, 2019, Fox Broadcast Network will air WWE's flagship program. I'm interested they call it the flagship program. SmackDown Live as part of a new 5-year agreement with Fox Sports. The weekly 2-hour live event will air 52 weeks a year and captivate fans with a unique combination of edge-of-your-seat action, unpredictable drama, and world-class athleticism. Quote, at Fox, we are thrilled to welcome WWE to the Fox Sports family and bring SmackDown Live to broadcast television, said Eric Shanks, president and COO and executive producer for Fox Sports. We are huge fans and know that together Fox Sports will be the leader in live events for the foreseeable future. So now that it's official, how many times are we going to see Daniel Bryan or Roman Reigns or somebody else in the booth with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman during NFL on Fox?
You probably won't see that, but you'll see like graphics and stuff.
Oh, we'll see all sorts of cross promotion,
and you'll hear about it, but you probably won't see the wrestlers too much. I think that there's
you could see them on Thursday night, because remember, Fox Sports now has the Thursday night football package. They've taken it. So.
I don't see those two worlds crisscrossing just yet. Maybe in due time throughout that contract, where they might see that there is some crossover between professional wrestling fans and pro football fans. But I think they're going into this as it is its own separate entity. While it's on a sports channel or will be broadcast part of the Fox Sports family, it's still its own thing. It's not traditional professional sport, so to speak.
True. But they are putting it under the Fox Sports umbrella, although it will be on Fox broadcast, which means...
I'm glad that you're very optimistic about this, Stu, but right now we're in the middle of a World Cup. Fox has the World Cup. They've done a horrible job with most of it. So why am I supposed to imagine that they're going to do a better job promoting WWE to the non-WWE fan?
Well, okay, to be fair, let's not forget that the World Cup does not include the United States. Remember, team, the U.S.
And whose fault is that?
I know. It's not Fox's fault.
Exactly. But even then, it's all like, well, it's the same deal, though. Just because the United States isn't in the World Cup, it doesn't mean that you can't watch it. But it's like saying that a football fan's going to watch pro wrestling even though they don't like pro wrestling. It's like saying, I'm not going to watch the World Cup because the United States is not in it.
Right, I get that. I mean, it's just, And I get that there's not going to be a whole lot of cross promotion and all that good stuff, but still, I got to imagine there's going to be something, especially leading up to that. Again, you won't see it this year. This is not until October of 2019, but especially, you know, a couple of those Thursday night games, especially leading up to it, I could see it. I'm just saying. So by the way, Fox Sports, believe me, and I have seen promos for the last like 6 months about the World Cup on Fox. That's all I've seen.
Well, yeah, they spent a lot of money on it.
They've been promoting it like crazy.
And how many World Cup games have you watched?
I watched a couple.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm not a soccer fan, so.
But that's how I would feel. That's how most people but would Austin feel about is, WWE.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like it's not.
But they're
I'm not
still going to promote
it. I'm not saying there's not crossover. I'm just saying that right. I'm not sure if there's enough of it to warrant putting one of those guys in the booth to make them stop by during a NFL football game, because it just seems that Joe and Troy are rather boring.
And we don't see it with like any of the other Fox programs. We're not seeing,
programs. This is going to be interesting, because now that they have a deal with NBC Universal, which owns USA, and now they have a deal with Fox Sports.
Right.
It seems that since Fox has a lot of, I want to say, shows, that you might see some crossover in that, where maybe wrestlers would make guest appearance on maybe some sitcoms or something like that.
Could see that, especially on, you know, and I'll be honest, I'm not up on Fox's variety of programs, but I could see where, you know, whatever show that is like a FS1 or not FS1, FX or FXX show.
Yeah, exactly.
Could see something like that. But
to really utilize the contract and the fact that, you know, they'll have access to this talent.
Right.
Because obviously there is a population, or there's a segment of the population that's going to pay good money to see this.
And not to don't forget that there was talk that they may even do like a WWE recap show, talk show, whatever, on FS1 when this starts. So where, you know, or it could be like, say, the reboot of Talking Smack, you know, but now it's on FS1 instead of the WWE Network. So.
Well, I wonder if they're going to get any more original programming out of this deal, or they're just getting SmackDown. That's going to be interesting.
From way it looks like right now it's just SmackDown. Now, could we see where maybe we see like, you know, like USA Network would carry, they'd carry an abbreviated version of WrestleMania, or excuse me, NBC would carry it like during, it was Christmas, I think. They would carry like an abbreviated version of WrestleMania, or they would do the tribute to the troops on USA. Could we see that move to Fox? Could we see, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this develops. Again, we're talking almost a year and a half before this takes place, but it is still big that, you know, and again, SmackDown was on a broadcast network. Granted, it was UPN, which was seen by like 5 people.
It's a CW now, which has like good viewing.
It has 10 people now, yeah. But this is Fox. So like, you know, our friends over at Fox 7, you know, Dennis De La Pena and John High and those guys, Cliff Thornton, I wonder if we'll see highlights on Fox 7 News.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I'm going to have to call John High, you know,
you can try.
Him up on,
you can try.
I think watches once in a while, so we'll see. A couple other notes. Let's see. Sami Zayn. You notice hasn't been around well. He has suffered not one but two torn rotator cuffs.
I know. That's.
So he underwent the first of two shoulder surgeries last week, and so it looks like he could be out until early 2019. Well, so we're talking he might be ready for WrestleMania 35.
I mean, that should be his focal point, is just try to get back for WrestleMania so you can hit the big payday. But, I mean, it's an unfortunate blow for him. I mean, he had a really good debut, hot, separated his shoulder. He tore his rotator cuff then, and now he suffered another one.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate because, unfortunately, with injuries like that, they're prevalent. They don't necessarily heal. It's like when somebody dislocates a shoulder or separates their kneecap, it's like, it heals, but you're not the
same. Right. So,
and you use your shoulders a lot. You bump around a lot. I mean, he tore it on a celebration the first time. So, I mean, it just seems like he just is jinxed at the moment. And hopefully he's going to be able to overcome that.
I hope so. I mean, we'll see what happens. But yeah, so it looks like we're not going to see Sami Zayn for several months to come. They confirmed Rey Mysterio is part of WWE 2K19. Had a great spot during Monday Night Raw with people pulling off the Rey Mysterio mask and talking, you know, accolades.
You only get him if you pre-order.
Pre-order, right. He's on pre-order. But yeah, Rey Mysterio will be part of that game. Here's an interesting note. We had talked a little bit about WWE possibly. You know, in fact, I think we had talked last week because they announced about NXT UK. So it has been confirmed Hideo Tommy, who formerly known as Kenta, will be returning to Pro Wrestling Noah on August 29th to face his longtime partner and rival, Mara Fuji, as a part of, I think it's Mara Fuji's 20th anniversary show there in Japan. And, of course, it has led to speculation that Pro Wrestling Noah may enter into some sort of agreement with WWE. Now, what's interesting, of course, is that Pro Wrestling Noah, last I checked, still has an agreement with Impact Wrestling. Now, I'm sure they would shuttle that in 2 seconds to latch on to WWE.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not really an issue.
But would that then, like we were talking, could that then become NXT Japan?
Yeah, basically. I mean, that makes the most sense.
And it seems to be that would be the I guess, most prevalent way to compete with New Japan Pro Wrestling. With New Japan, of course, we've got the G1 special coming up in a week and a half.
Well, it's a battle, I mean, they're going to invade their territory.
Right. And Pro Wrestling Noah has been, like, you know, they kind of like Impact Wrestling. They've been on the brink of extinction for several months now, almost a couple of years now, with, you know, lack of funding.
When Misawa passed away, it was a big blow just because he was the guy that was the man of professional wrestling throughout the 90s, and he was also the head booker and upheld the most respect probably of any Japanese wrestler who ever lived. He was a really good one. If you never go back and watch the tapes,
right.
But when he died, the momentum that Pro Wrestling Noah had kind of started crumbling without him. And then you started seeing that they lost their big stars, he was Kenta at mm-hmm. the time.
Well, Suzuki was there, yeah. and KES was there,
but
a long time. They went back to New Japan.
But a lot of their big stars got pushed away, not just by WWE, but by other outlets as well. But they've been able to kind of just sit in the boat and float, and this might be the lifeline that they need to kind of get them over that hump, so to speak. And it's a good move for WWE to try to expand into that market.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Especially since you already have the face of who was the face of Pro Wrestling Noah in Hideo Itami now on your roster.
That's true. I mean, we saw... Was it? Oh, good Lord. I think it's been 2 years when they had the Beast in the East special.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that card not only was Brock Lesnar, but it was Finn Balor defending the NXT championship against Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Of course, Finn Balor made a name for himself as Prince Devitt, the first leader of Bullet Club there. But it's been a while. And I know they've got a tour of Japan coming up soon as well. So this could be another layer to this story about possibly developing something, some sort of a market hold in Japan. We'll wait and see. Before we get out of here, we mentioned last week ESPN the magazine, their Body 10 issue coming up, and among the athletes that are going to be featured, Charlotte Flair. We've now seen previews of some of the pictures that will be in that magazine. Have you seen them?
Yeah, I've seen all the photos.
Wow.
I mean,
she's very impressive, very impressive and very tasteful. I mean, it's ESPN. We're not talking penthouse or anything, but still very impressive.
Penthouse is like one of the most vulgar ones.
Yeah.
From so what I recall back in the day. But no, this is nothing like that. I mean, if you've never ever seen the ESPN, the body issue, it has both men and women.
I still remember the one with Cecil Fielder.
But, I mean, that was even impressive, too, just because it's like such a big dude that's basically all muscle. And, like, with Charlotte, I felt that her, like, everybody had unique pictorials, I felt. And
yes.
But Charlotte's was really interesting. They really captured the essence of what makes her great. Like, you see her body, and it's just like, that is why she is probably the best female athlete in the WWE. It's just because she is just easily just jacked.
You know what I didn't realize? I thought she was over 6 feet. She's 5'11", at least according to the listing in ESPN.
That's like only 5'11". That's only an inch away from 6 feet tall.
I know, but I thought she was taller. I thought she was like,
that's tall for a woman.
I know, but I don't know. For some reason, I pictured her as, you know. So anyway, did you see Bayley finally flipped and went after Sasha Monday night on Raw?
Yeah, something that.
What'd you think?
I mean, I really don't care right now, but I'm sure I'm going to care when it gets closer to SummerSlam.
The mandatory counseling is what threw me. It's like they should have just left it. The crowd went nuts.
Yeah,
they should have just left it and let them be a rival.
I know that's what.
But mandatory counseling. What we're going to get the goofy doctor that was trying to help Daniel Bryan and Kane, who
probably.
We just saw on SmackDown, have a reunion at least momentarily.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, you know how the WWE likes to go kind of skit heavy with these instances.
Yeah, they
and
do.
Talking about skits, I mean, you saw it again last night where Alexa, or on Monday Night Raw, where Alexa Bliss gets sent out there with like this not a very good promo, but she sits there and carries in. That's why she's the champion, because she can save things like that.
She is really good. She is really good at being.
Oh, that face?
Just evil.
That face. Yeah, she's just the perfect heel for that style heel that she portrays. But I mean, I wish they would give her something better to work with, because if they gave her even something that was just a minute portion better than what they usually give her, she would be a top tier superstar.
Oh, I agree. When we come back from this timeout, we will let you know what else is happening this weekend in independent wrestling around the area. You're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network.
Worship us.
Now. This is Almighty Christopher Daniels. I am a national treasure, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And you are listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. You're welcome.
Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Myrick, Justin the Smash Simmons on the horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. By the way, if you see the latest episode of Being the Elite, the scene where SCU is out in the parking lot in Dallas screaming about how much they hate Dallas.
Yeah.
If you look in the background, you might see a familiar figure.
Who did I miss?
Me.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I'm in the very back. It was actually
have to really look then.
Yeah, you'll have to look. We were all coming out of Gilly's. We're all leaving. In fact, I'm walking out with Cody and Brandy Rhodes, and we're chatting about All In and stuff, and I'm trying to get them to come to Radio Road Super Bowl in Atlanta. And I look over, and it looked like they were right next to my car. Luckily, my car was a row over, so I'm going, oh good, I gotta wait for them to finish filming, because they were filming that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. So it was, and yeah, as the camera pans back towards the building, yes, I'm in the background standing there going, oh my God.
What shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing my gray Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, the button-up shirt that you usually see me at in cards. So this weekend, not only do we have Sabotage and Inspire Pro here in Austin, but we also got several cards happening in and around Texas, and we will let you know some of those cards. The three I've got all are on Saturday, so let's start in College Station. Lions Pride Sports, Smitty K's Bar and Grill in College Station, Saturday night, bell time, 8 p.m. Now, here's a big one. So Lance Hoyt, the current Lion Pride Sports champion, will defend that championship against one man, Mike Dell, in a loser leave town match. How long has it been since you've seen a loser leave town match?
I'm more interested to find out who's going to be the one that loses this match.
I am too.
Both those guys are Lion Pride's mainstays. So
they are.
It's going to be hard to see.
Lance Hoyt will have the advocate, Bruce Tharp, with him. Plus, Rex Andrews will defend the main event Pro Wrestling Championship on that show against Ricky Starks.
Another good match right there.
Should be a fantastic match. That's Lion Pride Sports Saturday night at Smitty K's Bar and Grill in College Station. Saturday night in Katy at the Elks Lodge. DZW. Bell time 7 p.m. K.O. Cox, Silky Baines, and Romeo Falcone among those scheduled to appear at DZW. Saturday night, Katy Elks Lodge. They're in Katy. And then the Laredo Wrestling Alliance presents That One Night Saturday at the Warehouse of Champions Sports Complex in Laredo. Bell time 7 p.m. Daga, Laredo Kid, and none other than the Major League Wrestling MLW World Champion, Mr. Swerve himself, Shane Strickland.
Man, that's a pretty stacked card around the border.
That's not bad. So Laredo Wrestling Alliance Saturday night at the Warehouse of Champions Sports Complex in Laredo. And that's your look at what's happening in independent wrestling this weekend in and around Texas. Justin the Smash Simmons, the throw-in, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Is your team still alive in the World Cup?
Well, that's the beauty about not having the United States in the World Cup is that I get to watch every game as a neutral and just kind of take it for what it is. But I guess you kind of, as a show, because Kit's a big fan, and they meet at our World Cup headquarters, which is at Little Woodrow's on Burnett Road. We became like we adopted Argentina.
Okay.
And they had surprisingly have been able to make it past the group stage. So they'll be in the knockout round on Saturday. We'll be out there to, we're going to do a live to tape show, I believe.
So, I think I saw Zach Christo.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be easier that way because we're expecting a really big crowd. But if anybody is wanting to get in on the action of the World Cup, haven't really taken an interest because the United States isn't in it. We're just past the group stage. This is where all the games really count a lot now. And you're seeing the best teams have advanced. So the soccer is going to get really good. And the atmospheres at the bars are going to get even better. And
yeah.
I mean, the people, you should have saw it. The people today were just living and dying with each possession, each touch, each shot. Because they knew that if they didn't win, they weren't going to survive. So and it's going to be like that from here on out. So it's going to be a good time on Saturday morning around 9 a.m.
I've been keeping up with it, and there's been a lot of great drama with it. Let me ask you, is there a team that has impressed you the most?
No.
Is there a team that has surprised you?
I mean, it's really tough to say. This World Cup hasn't gone, I think, the way that most people have imagined it. There's been some impressive individual performances, but I can't say that I've been too impressed by any one particular team. If anything, I've been underimpressed. The teams that I thought were going to perform better haven't performed up to par. But I guess if you had to pick one, I would say Mexico. They beat the defending world champions. They have won two games in a row. They're still not through yet. So tomorrow, they have to play. They have to win. So we'll have to see how that goes.
The throw-in, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. on the horn. Kit McConico, Justin the Smash Simmons, and Zach Christo bring you everything that's happening with the World Cup. I think this is going to be another one of those Stu's Wrestling Weekend adventures. Of course, Friday night I'll be at Sabotage Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday I think I'll probably head to College Station, see who leaves town, who survives there at Lion Pride Sports. And then Sunday, of course, I'll be on commentary with Eamon Payton and Jason Harris for Inspire Pro Wrestling. So
back to back to back.
Back to back to back, yes. At least this time, two of the three shows are here in Austin, so not too many miles to have to drive. So should be a lot of fun. Should be a great wrestling weekend. You can follow Justin the Smash Simmons on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at The Smash Simmons. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Stu Myrick. That's StewMyrick. You can follow the show on Twitter at SGTWATX. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. We are the official broadcast partner of the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. We are proud to be part of the Cheap Pop Podcast Network. and we're proud to be part of the great lineup you hear every day. On the flagship station for the Texas Longhorns, we are The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Catch us Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260, or catch us anytime on demand by going to hornfm.com and going to the on-air tab, or by subscribing to us on your favorite podcast platform. My thanks to Vinny Marsaglia, Flip Gordon, and Bobby Cruz from Ring of Honor Wrestling, Baby D from Sabotage Wrestling, and Massive from Inspire Pro Wrestling. And my thanks to you for giving us a little bit of your time. Until next time, we will see you at the matches.
Goodbye and good night.